So hello, welcome back to my YouTube, and if you're listening in your car or from wherever you are, welcome back to my podcast. But today I wanted to do a topic just talking about the law of attraction and how it works. So it's a very easy, basic concept. It's not like magic or anything like that, but it really talks about how what you spend your energy focusing on, what you spend your time focusing on, those things become habits, and those habits become behaviors, and those behaviors are what ultimately get you to reaching whatever goal or milestone is that you're trying to reach. So to put this into perspective with my own lived experiences, I will talk about my experience when I was a student at Loyola Marymount University working on my master's degree in counseling. So it was about maybe my, well, it was my first semester in graduate school working on my master's degree. And I remember I took this, it was like a research methods class or something. So basically the point of the class was to show us how to, A, conduct research, and then B, how do we make sense of this research? So if we're going out studying something, how do we then take all of these numbers and make it make sense, especially to someone who isn't really familiar with how to read research? How do you, like, you know, make it basic enough so that anybody will be able to understand what it is that you did and how you came to the conclusions that you came to? So during the time of this class, which it also had like a mixture of statistics, and I'm not good in math, so I was actually not looking forward to this class, but I had the best teacher ever. His name was Dr. Zheng, and he pretty much made this research class so practical, and it wasn't just an abstract math class at this point. It was a class that actually became very important to me specifically, because I'm like, wow, learning how to conduct research and putting the numbers and the data into, like, you know, a narrative, this is really cool, this is fun. And so that was the first time I've ever felt like that in a statistics or a research methods class at all. And it was really the way he taught it. He taught it so that it would be more practical. Anyways, during this class, we learned how to analyze scholarly journals and the articles that were written and produced by these scholarly journals. And, you know, as an undergraduate, you do research. It's very basic, though. It's not really conducive of what you would do in a graduate program. So I did feel ill-prepared prior to this class. But anyways, to wrap this up, he mentioned to me one time, he was like, you should really consider, you know, pursuing a doctorate level degree. And I'm like, I'm not going to go and get a doctorate. Like, it's more school, more money, more time. And, like, doctorate degrees are for people who are super duper smart. But, you know, he said it to me, and even though in my conscious mind I'm like, I'm not feeling that, thanks but no thanks, subconsciously it just reached my subconscious, and it was something that, even without me really realizing, it was something that I did want to possibly entertain, or at least to get an idea of what that would entail. So I remember just doing like a random, you know, search for different doctoral programs that I may want to pursue that were in the area. And I stumbled across this doctoral program at USC. And when I came across this doctoral program at USC, you know, A, it's USC, okay? I got my bachelor's from Cal State Long Beach. So although Cal State Long Beach is a good school, when you think of, like, USC, you're thinking, like, top-tier universities, not only in California, but let alone in America. So I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get into this program. But there was an information session about the program, and I saw that there was going to be free food. So I'm like, okay, why not? I'll go. And, you know, I didn't live, you know, too far from USC, and USC is a beautiful campus. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go. So I went, and I remember they had this girl speaking about her experience in the program and how she was paying for it and different things. And the whole time I was there, I'm like, this just isn't realistic for me. Like, I don't see how I'm going to get in. It's just not going to work. And so I don't know what brought me to do it, but after it was all said and done, there was a graduate advisor there, and I went and asked her some questions about the application, because one of the things about the application is that you needed like 3 to 5 years of experience with leadership experience. So I was telling her that my leadership experience wasn't necessarily in the background for the discipline of that program. And she was explaining to me how to word it so that I could still show how it was relevant to the program. So, okay, I'm like, I don't know. Like, now I'm just, I feel like, okay, now I'm just trying to like throw something against the wall and hoping that it sticks when I fill out this application, because my work experience up to that point had nothing to do with this program. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So again, at the time I was at LMU and they had a doctoral program for the same exact program. The only thing is that I wanted to put an emphasis on higher education because I like working with college students as opposed to like K-12. And at LMU, that year that I went, a lot of the students, the focus was on K-12. So I did my interview, I applied, and I ended up not getting in. And I just knew I was going to get in because I'm going there right now. I'm getting my master's. You know, this is what I was thinking at the time. And I didn't get in. So I'm just like, whatever. But before I knew if I got in or not, because I just knew I got in, I remember the USC deadline was approaching, and it was the same day. And it was like 8 p.m. on the deadline day, and the application was due at midnight. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I already know I got into LMU, because I hadn't known at this point that I hadn't got accepted. So I'm like, I already know I got accepted to LMU, so there's no point in me doing this application. Then there were so many barriers. I'm like, the application's $80. Like, I'm going to submit an application for $80 just for a maybe. Like, nah, I'm good. But I don't know. I think it was God. Something. There was a stronger force than myself that said, just do the application. Mind you, it's 8 p.m. and the application was due at midnight. And the application did have a few, like, essays, like maybe three, built into the application. So I was just so over it. But I'm like, okay, whatever. So I did it. Then I find out a few weeks later I didn't get accepted to LMU. But then I find out I had just started a new job. And I was walking back from like an orientation, and I got an email from USC, and they were like, congratulations, you've been accepted to the program. And I kind of was taken aback because I just already felt so defeated with LMU that, you know, I literally cried in that moment. Like, I was walking back to my office with all my coworkers, and they were like looking at me like, what's wrong? Like, I just opened that, and I like literally started hyperventilating because I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Mind you, even from when I went to that info session, never in a million years did I actually think that I was gonna get accepted to this program. Fast forwarding to the program, I finished my master's program in a year at LMU. I started the program at USC in 2015, finished in 2018, so it took 3 years. I was amongst the youngest person in my classes, so it was a struggle because, you know, I had to prove to myself as well to my classmates and my professors that I deserved to be there, and my input was just as valuable as everyone else's. You know, I'm in classes with actual principals and vice presidents of, and vice deans of, you know, assistant deans and stuff of colleges and high schools. So they're looking at me like, okay, well, you know, how do you add to this discussion? It's like, well, I'm not that far removed from being a student myself. So I was able to merge that gap together of a student's perspective as well as a, you know, employee's perspective. So I really think that that did help me out a lot. So anyways, when you do a doctoral program, you have to write a dissertation. And usually most people will not finish the dissertation prior to the time that they walk the stage. I, however, finished my dissertation prior to walking the stage. So when I was done, I was literally done. But I said all that to say that it was just the law of attraction. I went to this info session. I may not have believed it at that moment, but everything that I did up until that point really had me, you know, making the necessary adjustments that I needed to make to be in a position to be accepted to this program, and not only be accepted to the program, because that's half the battle, right? I had to still flourish and thrive and complete the program. I completed the program with all A's. Okay, I graduated with a doctorate degree before the age of 30. Like, all of these things are not things that, if you would have told me this when I was 19, 18, 20 years old, that I would have believed. I'm going to be a doctor before I turn 30. Like, are you crazy? I'm going to be in a doctoral program at USC. Like, are you crazy? Like, that's not going to happen. But the thing is that sometimes you just got to trust the universe, and what's meant for you is definitely for you. Another example in my lived experiences is I wanted a white convertible BMW with red seats. And I got this random thought of wanting this car out of nowhere. I was driving on my way to LMU when I was in the graduate program. This is maybe 2014. And I was getting off the 105 to make that turn to go down, you know, Sepulveda or whatever. And this guy was getting off the freeway and he had that exact car. And I was like, oh my God, I want that car. And in the moment, I did not have enough money for the car. Again, this was 2014. I didn't have enough money for this car. I didn't have the credit for this car. I didn't really need this car. Like, my car was running perfectly. I had just paid it off. It was a 2007 Kia Spectra. It was fine. But I'm like, okay, whatever. So I thought that I wanted the car. That was 2014. I never thought about it again. Then, out of nowhere, I got this same desire to want the car. I think I had seen it again. At this time, I'm at USC. So it was 2016 when I got this idea again. At the time, I probably still, realistically speaking, had no business wanting this car. But I actually, in class one day, we had like broke off into groups and I had finished my work early. I pulled up the BMW website. I built this car from scratch. I made it white. I had red seats. Then I started playing around with the numbers. If I were to finance it, how much would be the total of the car? Then how much would it cost a month? Blah, blah, blah. I printed out that paper. And I'm going to show you guys this. I printed that paper out. And I'll show you guys, because obviously I don't want to interrupt the podcast, but I have a picture. I printed it out, and I put the picture on my refrigerator. And I have it on my refrigerator right now as we speak. And it has the date at the bottom and everything, and I will show that to you guys as proof. But that was 2016. In September of 2017, randomly, one day, I woke up. My car was, like, on its last leg. And I'm like, yo, I'm just going to go to the BMW lot. I'm not expecting to get a car, but, like, I just want to, you know, entertain the idea. I get there. They had a car. It was silver. It had red seats, but I wanted a white one. So I test drove it. They had me there for, like, 6 hours, and, like, 5 of the 6 hours was them trying to sell me this car. I'm like, no, it's cool. Like, I'll build it and come back, you know, in a couple months when it's ready, but I want a white car. Like, and he was like, well, it has the red seats and da 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 da. And then, I'm like, no, I want a white car. Like, I want a white car with red seats. I don't want that car. And then I was like, okay, I'll take that car. But then they were like, oh, this is a loaner car. So this is a car that they use for customers who are getting their car maintenance and they just need a car in the meantime. And so he was like, oh, we just made this a loaner car today. So I'm like, okay, well, unmake it a loaner car. Y'all have so many cars on this lot. You can make something else a loaner car. And he was like, no, we can't do that. It's already in the inventory, da, da, da. And I literally told him, like, if I was Rihanna, you would unmake that a loaner car and sell it to me. Like, I'm trying to buy it. You act like I'm asking for it for free. And he was like, well, we just don't do that, blah, blah, blah. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, there was a white car, but it had black seats. So he was like, well, do you want this white car? It's like how you said, it's convertible still. It just doesn't have red interior. So I'm like, no. Like, the red interior is what sets the car off. If I'm going to make this big purchase, I want it to be exactly like how I want it. So at this point, I'm getting frustrated because I've been here for hours. We've been going back and forth. I'm already an impatient person. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just going to leave. So then out of nowhere, they're like, oh, well, at our shipment in San Pedro, I could go drive and get the car. They have a white one with red seats, and it's brand new, da, da, da. So he went, he brought me the car, and I got the same exact car that I printed out in 2016. I got that car in 2017. Mind you, I'm randomly on a limb. I went to the BMW lot. I did not have any intentions on driving off that lot with the car. I did not have any intentions on, like, it wasn't something I planned. I didn't plan to buy that car. It was an impulse buy, which I'm not really an impulsive buyer because I like to do a lot of research before I do something. But that just puts everything full circle. What's meant for you is for you. Like, I printed that paper out before I even knew that I had the credit and or the finance stability to be able to even afford the car. And then the fact that randomly a year later I got the car. And it's just like, I'm not saying these things to brag or boast, because I'm a pretty frugal person, and that's like probably been the biggest purchase that I've ever made. But I'm saying it because I'm just expressing how real the law of attraction is. When you put certain energy into the world, you get that energy back. And whether it's negative or positive, and there's a saying that whether you think you can do something or whether you think you can't do something, either way, you're right. And if you think you can do something, you're going to do whatever it takes to do it. You're going to get the help, the resources that you need to be able to do it if you don't yet know how to do it. You're going to put yourself around people who have already done it, who can be your mentor, who could show you how to do it. You're going to read about it, Google about it, whatever you need to do to learn how to do it if you don't know already know how to do it. With the same token, if it's something that you think you can't do, you're going to come up with a million and one excuses as to why you can't do it. Someone may even volunteer to help you, and you may shun them because you may feel like, oh, it's so unrealistic, so I'm not even going to waste my time trying to do it. So, yeah, that's why that saying is, you know, whether you think you can do something or you think you can't, you're right either way. So I invite you guys to consider really putting your time and effort into actually believing that there's things in this universe that are for you and that is meant for you, and what's meant for you truly, truly is for you. And again, everything starts with your subconscious. Like, what you subconsciously believe becomes the fuel for everything you do, the habits that you have, the behaviors that you have, the thoughts that you have. So if you're someone who's like really negative, if you're someone who always makes excuses and never actually follows through and does things that you need to do, then you need to really look into that and consider, yo, how am I, you know, setting my own barriers for myself? Why am I putting this energy out? This is why I'm getting the same results, because this is the energy that I'm putting into the universe. So again, I didn't mean to ramble. And I hope that this video serves as some type of motivation or inspiration for someone, because like I said, these are things that I've heard all the time. And even in doing these things, I still didn't believe, oh, the law of attraction. Whether you read the book The Secret or watched the Netflix documentary or whatever, all of these things, whatever you want to call it, The Secret, The Law of Attraction, visualization, whatever, just know that whatever energy you're putting into the world, you're making that come back to you. So if you're going to have to exert some type of energy anyways, then because that's all living beings are, is one big ball of energy, then it might as well be positive energy. So hopefully this helps somebody, and if it doesn't help you, or if you don't believe me or whatever, at least share it so that someone else can have the video, because this may be something that someone else may find useful. So until next time, thank you, Muse Squad, and thank you everybody listening to my podcast, and I will get back to you guys later. Bye.